Ladies and gentlemen, 5 years ago, a man living in Moscow, Idaho, made a statement that startled the whole world. Came out with the news of an amazing discovery, an amazing philosophy. It was so revolutionary that at first people were staggered by it. Then the illuminating truth of it burst upon them. In the course of 1 year, that discovery, coming from a little city up in Idaho, was being discussed in every civilized country on the globe, was making thousands and tens of thousands of followers, was changing people's entire lives from unhappiness and failure to happiness and success. The man who made this discovery, who evolved this new philosophy, is Dr. Frank Robinson. And in just a few moments, you will hear his voice. Hear him give you flashes of truth that will be a revelation to you. First, however, your guide will take you to Dr. Robinson's study.
Once more, we find ourselves in the city of Moscow, Idaho. Away out here where man can live close to nature and to nature's God. We are going to visit the home of Dr. Robinson and once more enjoy another talk with him. As we approach the house, the strains of pipe organ music are borne to our ears.
Been waiting for you. How are you?
Just fine, Doctor. I only hope we're not intruding.
You never intrude. You know that. I enjoy these little discussions immensely.
Well, this time, Dr. Robinson, I don't want it to be a discussion. I'd rather have you tell us about your philosophy without any interruptions from me. Will you?
Well, what would you like me to talk about?
Well, Doctor, I will ask one question. Is it necessary to die to find God?
The theory that you must wait until you die to know God is an utterly erroneous teaching. Yet this theory is advocated by practically every system of orthodox religion in existence. I might say that the theory is advocated only in superstitious ignorance. I am not saying that any of the existing religious organizations are dishonest. But I am saying that they have not taken the trouble to find the truth of God and of their story as this truth is known to exist. And I make the further statement to you here, knowing full well that some people will not like it, that the entire story upon which you and I are asked to base all present and future hopes is an untrue story from beginning to end. Historical evidence provides you and me with this amazing fact. And, amazing as the fact is, you will not find one representative of Orthodox religion, even though he knows these facts, telling them to you, yet the evidence is available. Now, listen carefully. Prior to the time of Jesus Christ, history records at least 16 other crucified saviors. Practically all of these crucified saviors were born of virgins. All of them came to save the world from sin. They were all God in human form, and they were all crucified. Many of them descended into hell, and most of them were resurrected from the dead and are at this moment, we are told, sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, Surely with this many saviors, the world cannot or should not be lost. And let me say something else to you here. There is no more historical evidence of the birth and the miracles surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ than there is regarding the miracles and births of the other 16 crucified saviors. Every fundamental of the story given to us today by the differing denominations was known to millions of people, hundreds, and in some cases thousands of years before Christ was ever heard of. The fact that no history, sacred or profane, that not one of the 300 histories of that age makes the slightest allusion to Christ or any of the miraculous incidents engrafted into his life certainly proves, with a cogency that no logic can overthrow, no sophistry can contradict, and no honest skepticism can doubt, that there never was such a miraculously endowed person as his many orthodox describers and followers claim him to be. The fact that Christ finds no place in the history of the era in which he lived, that not one event of his life is recorded by anybody but his own interested and prejudiced biographers, settles the conclusion, beyond cavil or criticism, that the godlike achievements ascribed to him are not but fable or fiction. It not only proves he was not miraculously endowed, but proves he was not even naturally endowed to such an extraordinary degree as to make him an object of general attention. It would be an historical anomaly without a precedent that Christ should have performed any of the extraordinary acts attributed to him in the Gospels, and no Roman or Grecian historian, neither Philo or Josephus, both writing in that age, and both living almost on the spot where they have said to have been witnessed, and both recording all the religious events of that age and country, make the slightest mention of one of them, nor their reputed author. Such a historical fact banishes the last shadow of faith in their reality. The Christian religion asks us to believe that at the resurrection of Jesus, the bodies of many other saints came out of their graves also. But history knows nothing of that stupendous event either. You let one dead man get out of his grave in your local cemetery and let him walk up and down the streets of your city, as scores are reputed to have done in the textbook of the present Christian religion, and I am saying to you that that happening will be written in red across the pages of both sacred and profane history, and the world will know about it millions of years from now. If there is one thing more than any other thing which made me question the truth of the story of the Christian religion, that thing was the fact that all history absolutely ignored Christ. These historians were honest. They were writing religious history at that time, and yet they never heard of any of these miraculous happenings. One of the fundamental doctrines of what you and I are asked to believe by present-day religionists is the doctrine of divine incarnation. But the incarnation of an infinite God is a shocking absurdity and an infinite impossibility. I ask, in all the solemn earnestness and in the name of the intuitive monitions of an unshackled reason and an unbiased consciousness, can any man, in his sober senses, who has been in the habit of reflecting before he believes, accept for one moment the monstrous absurdity that the almighty and infinite maker of the universe was once reduced to a little wailing infant lying in senseless helplessness on the lap of its mother, unable to walk a step or lisp a word, or do aught but cry with pain or for nourishment stored in the mother's breast? What, almighty God fallen from his burnished, dazzling throne in the lofty heavens and reduced to helpless, senseless babyhood? The omnipotent, shorn of all power but to sleep and cry and smile? What, that omnipotent being who leads one world by day and 10,000 more by night, becoming suddenly transformed into a human bantling which knows no higher enjoyment than that of being pleased with a rattle and tickled with a feather? Who can believe it? I, who would dare believe it if he would escape the charge of blasphemy? Do not say to me that the man Christ Jesus, though standing at the top of the ladder of normal manhood and high above the common plane of humanity, was yet a god, the infinite ruler of the infinite universe. Who can believe that that being, whose existence stretches to an eternity beyond human consciousness, he whom the heavens cannot contain, was ever cooped up in a human body, reduced so near to nothingness in human dimensions as to being susceptible of being weighed in scales and measured by a yardstick? The very core of my movement, the very foundation stone under it, is the actual existence of the power of the Spirit of God on this earth here and now. And if you do not find the power of God while you are on this earth, the chances are you never will find it. I am striving. I am breaking myself down. I am giving every ounce of energy there is in me to bring to a hopeless world this message of hope. I am telling the people of this world that regardless of how earnestly they have been implored to believe the foolish and absurd story of the virgin birth, the immaculate conception, the resurrection, and the vicarious atonement, belief in that story will very effectively hide the existence of the true God from them. If the supreme ruler of the universe cannot make his presence known to us now, and if he can do nothing more to bring us happiness, peace, health, and abundant prosperity now, then the chances are 1,000 to 1 that he never can do it. God exists now, and he exists to bring peace, happiness, abundance to us all. That is my message to the world, and that is the message which tens and hundreds of thousands of people are listening to.
Doctor, after this, I don't think I'll ever ask you any more questions. It's much more interesting just to sit and listen to you.
I hope you'll change your mind about that, because your questions are really a help to me. They let me know what's going on in your mind, what you're thinking about. They make it possible for me to tell you what you want to know.
Well, I will ask you one more question anyway.
What's that?
Will you play for us again? Dr. Frank Robinson has just told you about his system of philosophy, a philosophy that has produced definite, tangible results for hundreds of his followers. And you are probably no different from those good folk who are studying with him. The next step is squarely up to you. Do you want better health, more happiness, greater success, a fuller life? Do you want to be shown a law to learn how to make use of it? If you do, simply write to Dr. Frank Robinson, Moscow, Idaho, for a free outline of his discovery and philosophy. Understand, this outline does not cost you 1 cent, nor does it obligate you in any way. It is yours simply for the asking, and a postcard will bring it. Write to Dr. Frank Robinson, Radio Department, Moscow, Idaho. Be sure to use the words Radio Department to keep your letters from getting mixed up with the tremendous mail received from Dr. Robinson's students. I'll repeat his address. Dr. Frank Robinson, Radio Department, Moscow, Idaho. We return you now to your local announcer, who will tell you when Dr. Robinson will be on the air again.